Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you doing?
I am not doing bad at all. A lot of stuff going on in college football, Dustin. We've got the spring games going on. We've got the spring portal starting. And by the way, some spring games have happened. And amazingly enough, the world didn't come to an end. Players weren't pilfered and transferring all over the place. They survived spring training games. Can you believe that? Did Matt Rhule get the note?
It's a crazy world, isn't it? That we I don't even know how many there were, but I don't even know if BTN is covering half of them. I know the Purdue spring showcase was not televised, and I only saw Ohio State, so I don't know how many even took place over the past weekend, because it used to be a whole weekend thing, but now it's, I don't know that that's the case anymore.
Well, Penn State's is late. It's not for another week and a half. And I also noticed, I think it was Alabama who did a, would you call it a showcase?
A showcase, you know, yeah.
Showcase, okay. A non-game. And the attendance was very poor, you know, compared to other years. How was attendance for Purdue's showcase?
Probably about the same. They usually don't have a strong turnout anyway. I mean, like, it's probably a couple thousand. And then there's a lot of other things that go along with, usually Purdue pairs it up with some other things on campus. So it's just kind of like a sprint. It's like an all free for all type thing where you can hit a couple different events. So it probably was about the same. There's not the same thirst for football as there is at Penn State or Ohio State. That's just how it is. People enjoy it. If it's a nice day, they go. If it's not, they're not. So it didn't have any impact on West Lafayette. I can tell you that.
Well, I'm curious to see how things will go in State College. James, already over the past several years, they've used the running clock, shortened things up. And James Franklin, again, is talking about, gee, he's going to adapt and maybe shorten the game some more, have some non-contact, just thud plays. And I'm like, you've already shortened the game, okay? You know, so that's nothing new. And I as you could tell, will never get over the coach's paranoia about this. Like I said, on the one hand, they talk about these 15 practices, which the spring game counts as one of, as right. Gold. It's gold, Dustin. It's gold. It's so valuable. Yeah, here we have an opportunity to see guys scrimmage, and we're saying, we need to back off. That's too much, too many plays. So I don't understand it. But anyway, we did have some big goings on in the national picture. Our buddies down in Tennessee, Dustin, and by the way, I'm going to pronounce the name once and only once, and okay? So after that, it'll just be Nico. But Nico Iamaleava, is that close?
I have no idea.
Well, he decided to hold out from practice. He didn't like his NIL contract. He wanted more money. And so he didn't show up for practice, went silent. He ghosted the team. And Tennessee said, well, okay then, it's time to move on. Is that now going to be the time college football is going to completely collapse, Dustin?
No, it's not. That's not going to be the case. But I do think I do think what's interesting to me about this whole situation is that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Tennessee filed a lawsuit regarding, sued the NCAA about amount of money that could be brought in or how much a player could make or whatever the case was, whatever the specific was. And they basically did that for Nico. And then a year later, he turns around, or 2 years later, whatever it is, turns around and is like, okay, well, now I want to double my salary. That's the reports. That's what we're going to go with. Like, basically from a $2 million thing to a $4 million thing. I don't know whether that's NIL contract. I don't know how you want to specify it. And then Tennessee's just like, no, maybe if we thought you were going to win us a national champion, like a national championship caliber quarterback, maybe Tennessee wouldn't have done it at all. But this was, to me, kind of that stand where teams don't have to always cave in to what the players' demands are. And will we see more teams do this? Probably. Now, he's going to still wind up someplace because the urgency to win is too big. But he may end up taking a significant pay cut. I don't know what the financial situation is at some of those other schools that have been rumored to be in the mix, like UCLA and North Carolina. And I think Tulane was in that mix. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm just going to put this up front, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in further detail. He has no sympathy from me.
Well, neither from me. And the issue with Tennessee, the legal issue with Nico a couple of years ago, was I believe it was pretty blatant and obvious. They gave him the money to attend Tennessee, Tennessee. And that was against the rules. And Tennessee quickly took it to court. And in a lot of ways, Tennessee is responsible for this mess that college football is in, where, you know, this whole idea that NIL is going to be for name, image, and likeness, and instead it's replaced with, hey, we're going to pay you to come to our school. A lot of it could be laid at the feet of Tennessee. So, and it was specifically with Nico. So, Dustin, I'm calling it karma.
I mean, that's a good place. Like, I don't have any sympathy for Tennessee in this matter either. Like, there's a lot of, I think, to me, it's like everybody's at fault. Everybody's pointing a finger. There, nobody's taking responsibility. So I do think it's karma. I do think it's hilarious that Tennessee fought for this, and then all of a sudden they're the ones that it backfired on. I don't know. Like, I can find it hilarious that it happened to Tennessee, but then also be on Tennessee's side in this. Like, if you could imagine if he would have gotten the $4 million, what a precedent that would have set. That's like the Jalen Hurts contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, where he massive amount of money and just kind of set the market. Like, who knows what's good? Like, we still might see this happen. Like, who's to say Ohio State wouldn't pay somebody $5 million or $6 million or whatever the case might be? But to me, I was firmly in the camp of Tennessee should not pay him that kind of money.
Well, my take on it is I'm sure there are players in a lot of schools across the country who have behind closed doors say, hey, I've outplayed my contract. I have an option of hitting the portal. What could we do? I'm also the one who stated, you know, if I'm Jeremiah Smith, I declare for free agency every year. Find out what my value is. Come back to Columbus and say, hey, look, somebody else just offered me $9 million. What are you going to do, guys? And I suspect Ohio State would come back and say, here you go, sir. Here's your $9 million. You know, how do you want that? In small bills or what? How can we pay you that? But I'm not sure Nico necessarily deserved the raise.
No, I don't know that he did either. And so I think, like, to me, the interesting aspect of this is going to be, I've said this for years, and maybe I'm just completely wrong. I thought at some point the market would, I don't want to say correct itself, but would be more reasonable, because at some point, like, this is just bad business. Like, I'm sorry, a lot of these kids are not worth the money that they're receiving. And I don't have another way to phrase that. Like, I'm not saying they're not good players. I'm not saying they don't deserve money. I'm just saying when you pay a kid from high school who comes in and gets 12 tackles, he's probably not worth $500,000, right? Like, we can acknowledge certain situations like that. to me, there's got to be a line, though, where if you're Tennessee or Ohio State or Penn State or whatever, throw X school in here. If you say, okay, we need to pay this kid the $4 million because we think he's going to get us to back to the playoff and SEC championship, yada, yada, yada. Well, if I get that money from donor X and he underperforms, donor X the next year might say, I'm not giving you my $2 million because you wasted it last year. So this guy played one season, underperformed, and then went into the transfer portal anyway. So why am I giving you my hard-earned money? Now, again, there's a lot of people where this is a lot of keeping up with the Joneses in college football. I'm going to donate my money so my school can – so some of that may not change anyway. But there could also be some situations where kid doesn't perform, I'm not giving you my $2 million, and I don't really care if we're in the middle of the SEC anymore. I'm just not giving you this money to waste.
Well, it leads me to think, Dustin – well, first of all, I'm not sure the world is going to come to an end because Nico held out. I'm pleased that Tennessee said, hey, move on. We've had enough here. We don't need to deal with this. That was a good precedent for them to set. I also believe Tennessee, Nico, he was the starting quarterback, so he's obviously the best quarterback on the roster. But I wonder if it's a matter of, you know, $2 or $3 million to Nico. I'm leading up to another question, which is money management. How do you distribute this money? And, you know, I've for years prior to NIL, even Dustin, I always was curious about, you know, the top ranked quarterbacks, whether you go by five star mm-hmm. quarterbacks or their top 100 players. And their success rate is about 50%. Okay. So might I be smarter taking that $4 million and distribute it to, I'm going to make one heck of a defensive line and offensive line. I'm going to invest in the trenches.
Well, and if you're Josh Heupel, so I know we're running out of time in this specific segment, so I'll try to keep it brief. But if you're Josh Heupel and you say, you know what, I've won with just about any quarterback, I'm going to throw Ryan Day and Dan Lanning into this mix a little bit too. You're telling yourself, I can make any quarterback good if I surround him with the necessary pieces. As you mentioned, a good offensive line, good wide receivers, good running back. If I'm confident in my scheme, I can have my second string guy run it, and he's only going to cost me $800,000, whatever the case. I'm just throwing numbers right out there.
I think that's a very valid point, and I think it's something that teams are going to take a look at, Dustin. As you said, we're running up against the break. I want to continue this conversation, and we'll do that right after this. Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. Dustin, in segment number one, we were talking about Nico, last name we can't pronounce, from Tennessee. And moving
I'm
on.
I'm Aleva.
Ia Maleva. I literally spelled it out in my notes phonetically, okay, to help me out here, Dustin. And I'm not sure if it worked or not. But we were talking about how, especially now with the house settlement, which we think is coming, which allows for, call it revenue sharing, call it they can pay the athletes directly, but schools are going to be able to spend approximately $21 million on the student athletes. It appears most places who are going to spend all the money will spend $16 or $17 million on the football team. So in a way, that's a salary cap. Now, NIL could still come in over and above, but if you're starting with that, there's going to be this question of how do you spend your money? And I think you and I were getting to the same point, a similar conclusion, that maybe spending millions of dollars of that money on quarterback may not be the right way to spend your money.
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably depends. It's probably a case-by-case scenario, but I can't imagine, with NIL still being so prominent and being a big deal, no pun intended there, but I think that what you're probably going to see is some sort of base salary for each player. So everybody's going to make, for easy math, I'm just going to say every player is going to make $100,000. Right now, what you could have, and I think you've actually mentioned this before. Okay, baseline for a freshman is $100,000, and then whatever you can make as a in terms of your NIL, you get to keep that. You don't have to disperse that among the teammates, right? Like basically the current system we have. Stick around for your sophomore year. Guess what? You're going to get $200,000 now. You're going to stick around to be a junior. You're going to get $500,000. Right. So I think that there's going to be some sort of, if this happens, I'm going to guess, I don't know. I'm going to guess there's going to be some sort of incentive to, if you stick around, you get some sort of bonus, let's call it, or you're up for a raise or whatever the case might be. That would be my guess. And I don't know if you're going to do that for all players, if you're going to do that for starters, if you're going to do that for your two deep. I got to imagine there's some sort of incentive, though. It would be silly, in my opinion, to not have some sort of incentive for kids to stick around, especially if you have faith that you can develop your team and develop that talent.
I think, Dustin, that they're headed there. And where does all this end? I think the end point would have to be a collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not sure what that path is to get from where we are today to that point. In the meantime, though, I think, as we talked about with that, I'll call it $17 million as your, you know, salary pool for football, is, you know, do the arithmetic. How can we distribute the money among all the players with some incentives to stay? And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe there'll be like a 3-year contract like you talked about.
Yeah.
Year one, year two, year three, where it escalates. Now, what will happen is for the players, it's like, wait a minute, now how do I get out of this? Well, you know, how about the simple solution that there are buyouts put into the contract, mm-hmm. just like there are for coaches? So when you have a situation, and we've gotten a lot of this where players are playing, you know, in the group of six teams, they're in that second level, they're playing for a MAC school, and they outplay that contract, and now they have Ohio State and Alabama knocking on their door. I believe that kid deserves the opportunity to move on, but have a buyout in that contract. How does that work for you, Dustin?
Yeah, I think that's a totally acceptable path. And I think that's probably something that would happen. And on the flip side of that, I do also think that there's going to be some sort of, again, for lack of a better phrase, some sort of severance package involved here too, where let's say I'm, you know, Joe Lineman, and I come in as a 4-star prospect. And after 2 years at Penn State, maybe I'm just not going to be a starter. And I go to James Franklin. We have a conversation. We both agree it's best for both parties to maybe move separate directions. You know what? We don't have any problem with you transferring. We're going to cut you from our roster. Here's your $50,000 and best of luck on your next trip, you know? And I'm sure that there's going to be situations like that across college football, because there's going to be kids that, and especially, I think probably more so at the quarterback position, because again, as we always talk about, only one guy can play. I mean, certain situations where, as we've seen with Penn State, like Bro Pabrula played in specific situations where there were specific packages for him. So you might have those kind of situations pop up. But I think you'll probably see it'll be on both sides, where if I'm going to use this example because it's the closest that I have, but Dylan Thienemann, who was I think third team All-American safety at Purdue his freshman year, played his second year, They weren't very good, obviously. So he transfers to Oregon, where he's going to get better opportunity, better growth, better development. Okay, yeah, you're going to have to pay us $250,000 back. Or again, I'm just throwing numbers out here.
Yeah.
You have to pay us that money, because not only is that, are you leaving us on your own free will? That's also that's a conference opponent, right? And Purdue may not play them, and that would be interesting to see how that might be structured too. If I'm, if I'm Indiana and one of my guys transfers to Purdue and we play them every year, is a buyout higher because I'm playing for a team that's on the schedule? So I think there's a lot of different interesting avenues, but I assume that there's also going to be some sort of protection in there for players where, you know, if I'm told to leave or if it's suggested that I'm not be on the roster next season, do I also have some sort of protection and safety? You know, if I have to go in the transfer portal and maybe I don't end up at a Power 5 school, maybe I have to go to the G5 or FCS, or maybe it's just the end of my football career. Is there some sort of protection there as well?
Well, I think, Dustin, that's where the contract really helps both sides. If, you know, I'm a player, I come in, I sign a 3-year contract, it escalates year to year, and let's put a buyout in it in case I tremendously outperform my contract. But there's always the risk I underperform. But it's a contract. You know, the company, which is the team, promised me X dollars a year for the next 3 years. Well, it turns out I'm not a starter. I got bypassed by Joe Freshman, who's, you know, All-American caliber, and I'm not out playing. Or even, you know, more so, I have a knee. You know, I get a knee.
Yeah, right, right.
Mm-hmm. I think, hey, the contract states it's 3 years, so the school is on the hook because they committed to me for those 3 years. You know, it has to work both ways. But bringing up the situation that you did, and let's use Penn State and Bo Prabula, you know, the feeling was, hey, I thought by now, you know, the plan was Drew Aller was going to go move on to play on Sundays. That didn't happen. I probably outperformed what was expected of me as a backup quarterback. And I think the situation at Penn State is, you know, James Franklin nor anybody else liked the timing because it happened during the playoffs. But other than that, I have no doubt James Franklin, is able to say to Bo Prabula, hey, look, Missouri's offering you $1.5 million. You've been a loyal, you know, guy to the university, to the team. Bo, we want the best for you. The best for you right now, Bo, is Missouri and $1.5 million contract. You know, how could you deny the kid that? So, you know, let's rip up this contract kind of deal. And I think when you have a contract, if both sides agree to part ways, because that's the best case for both sides, there you go. You know, you move on.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say that I think for the most part, coaches have been pretty understanding in that respect, where if there's not and I don't know every program, I'm not going to pretend to, but if there's a situation where the guy's just not going to get on the field, he's been there 2 years, he's given you everything he can, most coaches are pretty understanding of that. And it's the same thing too. You know, you brought up a knee injury with contracts. How many times have we heard about a player who maybe suffered an injury and wasn't going to play or could do very, you know, minimal or limited in what he could bring to the team after, you know, one injury or a number of injuries, but then the team still kept him on scholarship? Like, I think that would be a situation where, you know, he's not going to be able to play for us, but he might be in a quote unquote student manager or a student assistant or something like that. He'll still be around the program. So there have been coaches where I don't think that aspect's going to change, whether that's scholarship or whether that's your, as we said, your 3-year contract and you get paid all that money. That's another thing that I think for the most part, programs have been pretty good about, where, you know, if there's a situation where we know you're not going to play, or a situation where an injury is going to prevent you from playing, we just want the best for you. And also, like, that's also PR at this point, right? Like, you don't want to get a bad reputation out there when you've got to pull so many kids in from the transfer portal on a year-to-year basis. You don't want other guys out there negatively recruiting against you and saying, hey, you know, this guy you know, broke his ankle, and Penn State said, you know, we're done with him. So you've got to, there's a little bit of PR you've got to maintain in this whole thing as well.
Yes, it's a business decision for PR. And also, I'd like to think that there's still enough humanity in this world that, you know, it's like, hey, this is a kid who, you know, gave it his all for the last couple of years. And, you know, it's not working out, or it's an injury. We still want the best for him. And the fact is, if a player works hard and he's bypassed by some younger players, let's face it, if a Big Ten player is in that situation, he's better off, both the program and the player are better off if he transfers, say, to a MAC school.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we've seen a lot of players that have gone that direction where it gets to a point where, you know, I've only got 1 year, 2 years left. I just want to play. I just want to play football. And I'm fine with taking less money. I'm fine with not competing for a national championship. But I do want to play, and I want to try to help my team win a conference championship, maybe get to a bowl game, something like that. And again, that's where I think a lot of coaches are understanding. I think the problem gets to be with like a guy like Bear Alexander last year, who was at USC and decided, I'm going to redshirt after four games because we're not as good as I thought we were going to be.
Exactly. All right. That's it for quarter number two. When we come back, I want to circle back to Nico. I got a couple questions for you when we return.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number three of our show. Just want to throw out a quick reminder here. We are in Philly, an evening with Penn State football, sponsored by the Penn State Collective, Happy Valley United. This is on Thursday, May 8th, from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Union League in Philadelphia. It's being sponsored by Happy Valley United. Guess what? Saquon Barkley will be there, Dustin. How about that? Along with several other great Penn State former football players, Grant Haley, Christian Hackenberg, Adam Talaferro. By the way, I met Christian Hackenberg in person a couple weeks ago. You know, until you stand right next to these guys, you don't realize just how big they are, Dustin. But anyway, I digress. A lot of Penn State Lettermen will be there. A great evening in Philadelphia for a great cause. Proceeds are going to go to Happy Valley United to support Penn State student athletes and also support the Michael Land and Saquon Barkley Hope Foundation. So it's a great cause. Again, that's We Are in Philly, Thursday, May 8th at the Union League. For tickets and more information, go to happyvalleyunited.com. All right, Dustin, before we get back to Nico, another thing in the news, way off topic here, but just wanted to ask you this question. You ready for this? This is the random question of the week.
Okay.
Jeff Bezos picks up the phone and calls Dustin Schutte, says he's a big fan of your work, and says, by the way, I got an extra seat on this Blue Origin rocket that we have going into space this week. Love to have you on it, Dustin. Would you go?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. I value my life. I understand that things can happen, but I am not. I have no interest in space exploration whatsoever.
11-minute trip, plus you'd be with those female celebrities, all those important people, Dustin. You
no, Dustin. I'm still passing on that.
You know what, Dustin? I'm with you. Yeah. I had trouble looking out the window from a high rise. You know, I get nervous stepping on a plane.
I'm the same way. I don't like to sit next to the window on an airplane. Just let's keep that thing shut. And then when we're getting close enough to where I can see the cars and such, then maybe I'll open the window and see how the landing's going to go. But other than that, I am not taking part in that.
I'm an aisle guy also, Dustin. So I'm with you on that one. All right. Let's get back to Nico. It's really fascinating, the story, though, and it's getting a lot of play. And my take, Dustin, all these things that have been going on for years, every time the sky is falling, okay, this is going to be the end of college football as we know it. Turns out, not the case. And I got a feeling that's going to be the situation here. And I actually, in several ways, think it's a good thing, you know, with Tennessee's response. And I'll even go so far as to say, I'm sure that Nico is probably a better quarterback than in Power Four conferences. What would you say he's at? Like the 70th percentile, 80th percentile? Where would you place him?
Boy, that's a tough question because I think Tennessee had some pretty good pieces around him. Better than average? We're going to find out. Like I don't think he's going to be surrounded with the same talent that he had at Tennessee. So I think I would say he is probably – I'll put him at the top third.
Okay, that's fair enough. My take on it is if I'm another team, I'm not sure I want him. I'm not sure I want to create more of this circus. And you've already established that, you know, a few years ago, he was the center of the storm in the lawsuit of getting, you know, he was looking to max out the money. That was the priority. And here you have him sitting out. I mean, literally, he's not showing up and he ghosts everybody on the team. I'm not sure I want that on my team. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. And I think that was a big reason why Tennessee stood in and said no. If he was still attending practice and everybody was still getting along with him, like it sounds like, now I wasn't in there, but it sounds like from some of the reports, there was a disgruntled locker room, kind of fed up with what he was doing. And it's like, well, we got to come to practice and we're not making nearly as much money as he is. So I think it would have created some sort of situation. And I would be interested if not only did Josh Heupel and maybe some of the Tennessee staff make this decision, but did we get some input from some players on the team as well? Like, hey, can you play with this guy? How much do you respect him? And if it's zero, I mean, it's kind of one thing, and every player is important and you need leaders. But it's almost one thing if nobody respects like the defensive back on the team, right? And I'm not saying that position is not important, but it's a completely different situation if nobody respects the quarterback. Because, by the way, the offensive line has to block for you. The wide receiver's got to catch passes. You got to be on the same page. That guy touches the ball every single play. So him being respected in that locker room is more important than probably most other positions, any other position on the team. And so when you create that sort of drama, I just don't think that that's what you want. And I mean, this is kicking the can down the road quite a bit here, but like, how's that going to affect his eventual draft stock? Like there's a lot of things at play here that he and his father have created that I think is not best long-term situation for this kid.
And that's the thing, too. You've got the people around the player. And I want to use this opportunity to tell a story that I don't know if I've told on this show before. About 1,000 years ago, when I was in college, I officiated intramural basketball. Got to the playoffs. There was a team with a couple football players on it. And the one they were undefeated going in. The other team outplayed them. This football player just – I teed them up twice. I kicked him out of the game, Dustin. I feared ugly situation. There were several football players on the sideline watching the game. Me and the other officials, we were grabbing our stuff, racing to get out of that gym as soon as the game ended. I get this paw. on my shoulder from behind. No other way to describe it. I turn around. It's an offensive lineman from the team. Huge guy. And I'm like, oh, no. I turn. Yes, sir. And he says, don't worry. You guys called a great game. He's an idiot. Nobody on the team likes him. Okay. So to describe the player that you were talking about, where does anyone respect or, you know, a player on the team? By the way, that player transferred that season.
Okay. Really? Okay.
Yes. From that. And I'm not saying I was part of him transferring, but I'm saying, you know, it was an example of the rest of the team, you know, pointed out to me, look, this is not a guy we respect. Don't look at this guy and say that's what Penn State football players are like. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think those are the situations. And when you're the quarterback, it becomes even more important if you're isolating yourself, if you're, you know, separate from everybody else. So if I'm another collegiate team, and I know this won't be the case everywhere because it only takes one team, but I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want this guy on my team. But the other part to this, Dustin, and it's fascinating to me, is the Southeast Conference has a rule, which I think is a good one. If you hit the portal in the winter portal, meaning you have to wait the whole year to play, you can transfer within the conference. But in the spring portal, you can't transfer to another Southeast Conference team. So, and play that year. You have to sit out a year. So how long till that becomes a lawsuit if Auburn, say, is the high bidder for Nico?
Yeah, it's not going to take very long. I wouldn't think, because they're going to talk about, you know, hindering his opportunity to make money, which has always been what this has been about, right? Like, that's every lawsuit has been like, well, you're hindering my ability to make money. What's weird is, like, I would like to know, there are, so I would talk about many years ago when I was in college. So I don't ever like to compare, but it's the best thing I can do. And so I know this is not even close to the same circumstance, right? But I played Division III tennis, and we had to sit in these long meetings before the season started, and you had to sign a bunch of things that said that you agreed with what the NCAA basically allowed, didn't allow, you know, making money, not making money, all that stuff. And it's just like, at some point, like, these kids did sign this contract. Like, how can nobody enforce any of these rules? So I don't agree with it. It will be a lawsuit. And what will happen is the SEC will just say, we're not going to put up the dough to finance this. We'll just let the kid play. We don't care that much. It'll create some drama. It'll give us more publicity. It'll make the game between Auburn and Tennessee even better, if they even play, even better. Whatever the case might be, we'll get our money back. Big deal. Like, I think that's eventually what's going to happen. But I do like the rule. I like the rule where you couldn't transfer in the conference in the first place. But that's long gone.
I like the rule also. I think probably the timing of it, allowing it for the winter transfer but not in the spring, it's when you get to the point of, you know, what if in August, you know, you went through August training camp and then you choose to transfer, or, you know, even at this point, you know, if you transfer to a rival within your same league, or as you mentioned, a team that you're going to play this season, you know, my playbook comes with me. Okay.
Yeah.
The scouting report, everything else, you know, there's just a lot of things that are wrong with it. So I hope someone will take the logic to that. And I think there's already in court, and maybe you and I spoke about it, there was a player from a different sport, and I think it was golf, where there's tournaments both in the fall and the spring semesters.
Mm-hmm.
And a player played like in one tournament, not even a league match or anything, in the fall, decided to transfer, went on to the other school, but was disallowed from participating in the spring. Well, because it was the same school year and you had participated. So I think sometimes the courts rule on that kind of specific case where it's, you know, pretty obvious, hey, this isn't going to harm anybody. But, you know, the ruling then becomes, be careful of the unintended consequences this could affect other sports, you know, and we have the issues like we do here in football. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter three. One more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out GoPSURV.com or call 800-519-8467.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. This has been the Nico Iamaleava show. Yeah, just show it off there.
Yeah, I know, right? You're just, I was going to say we could, I think you pronounce it the same way every time, but I was going to make a joke that it's different every time. But I think you've been pretty consistent in your pronunciation.
Well, again, I have it like spelled out here phonetically in front of me. So that's what I'm trying to use. So I'm like a guy trying to pronounce a foreign word, you know, that was put out to you phonetically, one syllable at a time. Iamaleava, you know, and the ma and lay, they're in capital letters, so you emphasize that syllable, Dustin.
I'm going to tell you my random story, and that is when I was working at Saturday Tradition, and I had a friend, he was actually my former boss, he had moved over to cover at Saturday Down South, so I was covering the Big Ten, he was covering the SEC, and there was a specific Alabama quarterback who was really good at the time. And I remember texting him and saying, I'm sure glad I don't have to spell out Tua Tagovailoa every day. And he sent me a mess and, you know, he said, well, you get used to it. And then obviously a couple of years later, I'm at Saturday Tradition and Taulia Tagovailoa decides he's going to play at Maryland transfer from. So after that, I decided I was never going to make fun of my friends in journalism anymore for spelling, because I really didn't want to have to do the DJ Uyungle, some of those other names, that's a red squiggly line on the notepad waiting to happen.
Well, you know what? I didn't. I just called them Tua's brother.
Yeah, smart.
Penn State played Maryland every year, and probably, however, I would have mispronounced the name, people would have been, "Who is he even talking about?"
Yeah, right.
But if I said Tua's brother, everyone would know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
See, I was doing it for our listeners, Dustin. It wasn't fact that I couldn't pronounce it.
A man of the people.
always. All right, let's get back to Nico here. And, you know, Dustin, I think, and we've spent the whole show talking about him and the situation. And, you know, I hope we're not ones falling into the trap that I think a lot of folks in media, they jump on a story like this, and this is the tipping point, the turning point in college football. And how many tipping points have we had over the last 5 years? And, you know, I keep pointing out that here we are, Dustin. We'll talk about this maybe for the next couple days. But, you know, come the fall, maybe he makes his first appearance for North Carolina or whoever. And so it'll be a little bit of a news thing. But once football's being played, do we really care about all this?
No. I mean, it gives us some off-season fodder, especially now since recruiting to me, maybe this is different. I don't know. Maybe this is different in different parts of the country and in different fan bases. I just don't think recruiting gets the same pizzazz as it used to. That used to be the off-season thing. Because it's when you had a lot of visits, that's when you had a lot of offers and a lot of commitments being made. And not only is it recruiting is still important, but it's not as important. Because if you say, wow, we didn't beef up our offensive line via recruiting, you can go in the transfer portal and it's not a problem, right? So I think that it gives us something to talk about in the news cycle. And I do think I'm going to kind of go on a bit of a tangent here. So I think part of this is I think it's good that Tennessee denied that $4 million. Now, if somebody else decides to pay it, exactly what he's asking for, it's null and void. Nobody cares. Like, this is, it's not going to be the tipping point. And I don't know that it's going to be a tipping point anyway. But if somebody offers him $1 million, are more programs going to say, you know what, we don't have to cave to your every single demand? And so I think that this might be the time when some programs say, you know what, if you're not worth it, we're actually not going to pay it. We're not going to throw dollars at you just because you're currently on our roster, your current quarterback, you're our current wide receiver. Will some players, like maybe an Arch Manning, get that kind of money? Maybe. Justin saying, maybe, you know, guys like that could get it. So we could see something like that. But to your point about the tipping point, a few years ago, I think a lot of people thought, remember that highly coveted recruiting class that Texas A&M brought in? Highest ranked recruiting class, all these five stars, best class in the history of college football. Paid them a lot of money to get there, and they went, I don't remember their record. It was not bowl eligible, 4-8, 5-7, something like that maybe. Everybody thought that was going to be a tipping point. See, we're paying these kids too much money out of high school. They're not always performing, and instead Jimbo Fisher loses his job, and nobody cares. We're just back to square one. So there's been a lot of these quote-unquote tipping points or where the change is going to – but I do think to some extent if he does not get the money he's asking for or he asked Tennessee for, I do think you will at least to some extent start seeing programs say, you know what, we're not going to actually cave to this demand. I think that you will see more of that, but you're still going to see people making buku bucks if they're good enough and they think that they're important enough to the team.
Well, there's certainly going to continue to be money in the sport. We know that. But I think that I try often to relate, Dustin, what's happening with college sports to out here where you and I exist and most of our listeners out in the real world, where obviously getting a paycheck is important at your job. Mm-hmm. Right. And all else equal, I'll take the job that pays more. But there's more to it. It's not all else equal. There's job satisfaction. There's, you know, you spend so much time at your job every day. Mm-hmm. If you like your coworkers, you like your boss, you like the atmosphere, you like the challenges where you're at, it would take a lot of money and a lot of incentive for you to go elsewhere. And now these are young people, so they aren't filled with the world experience that you and I are, Dustin. And, yes. You know, I think sometimes they're looking for the grass being greener elsewhere. But I think the programs that say, yeah, we'll pay you, but you want to come here to our university for a lot of other things. And so I don't use Penn State as an example all the time. I've only half jokingly said multiple times, hey, if I were Jeremiah Smith, I'd declare myself a free agent every year and right. Go get the highest salary. To his credit, interviews that I've seen with him are like, I'm not going anywhere. I love it here in Columbus. And I'm sure he's getting paid well.
Yeah.
But I'm also pretty sure he's not being paid as much as he possibly could if he put himself out in the free market. So you'd like to see the schools that say there's more to it. And there is a heck of a lot more going on than just how much you're being paid.
So my counter to that would be, I think he's also probably getting some good advice, completely opposite to Nico. And what that is so let's, I'm just going to throw this out there as an example. And again, I have no, this is not real life stories are, what's that? Coincidence, right? So, let's say Dan Lanning in Oregon said, hey, we have Phil Knight in our back pocket. I can get you $8 million instead of your whatever. I'm just going to throw out a number, $2 million. We can get you $8 million. Is there any guarantee? Can you show me that? Can it show up in my bank account tomorrow? Like, there's a chance that there are coaches who will make a promise that they can't keep. And so if Jeremiah Smith is like, you know what? I've got it pretty good. I want to compete for a national championship. I've got good money. And if I return, I know I'm getting that money. They've already committed that money to me. Why even risk it? And I think that, so that's where I think there's a lot of, and to me, I think this is a separate issue. This is where I think the NCAA or college football or whoever's going to be in charge needs to have like certified agents, right? So they can test the market and say, yeah, you know what? Oregon does have that $8 million to spend, or you know what? They actually don't. So maybe you should stick at Ohio State. But I guess the difference is I don't know who's representing Jeremiah Smith. I don't know what the situation is. He may just want to stay in Ohio State no matter how much money he's getting. I don't know. But I'm guessing he's getting some really sound advice and it's like, hey, you're getting this money here. Don't test the market, because if you test the market and come back and Ohio State's like, nah, you know what? If you're going to be like that, we'll bring in another receiver. Now, granted, there's not going to be another Jeremiah Smith out there. But point being, if he decides he's going to dabble, he could end up with less money. So I think in his regard, he's probably making a smart decision.
He is. And I think that's where, as you said, Nico, whether it's his father, a financial consultant, an agent type, is whispering in his ear, they're probably not looking out for the best interest of the player. And that's where I think also the last two national champions, Michigan and Ohio State, a lot of players returned. You know, Ohio State brought in some portal guys, but they kept a lot of guys who could have gone on to play on Sundays. I got to think the atmosphere, the culture in Columbus is pretty good.
It is. And I think another thing, too, about this is I mentioned this earlier about like Nico and whether that would be a kind of a red flag to some NFL teams come his draft. And I think there's also advice like, hey, yeah, you could make an extra $2 million at Oregon, but you don't want to wave that red flag in the NFL. You're going to make a ton of money in the league. Like, why even risk the personality and your draft stock may take a hit, right? Because you haven't proven anything in the NFL. We've seen a lot of great college players who just don't make it in the NFL. So don't even risk that. Like, think about your long-term future. Don't think about the immediate right now. And so I think that's part of this, too, where those guys at Michigan, Ohio State getting developed, they're probably like, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a lot of money in the NFL. I don't necessarily need to have that extra $500K or $1 million in my back pocket right now.
That's an excellent point, Dustin. And that's the stuff that when you are a young person, 18, 19 years old, you know, you can't measure that. You can measure dollars and cents. You know, this school's offering me, you know, $100,000. This one's offering me $110,000. So I'm going to go for the $110,000. And I'm leaving behind, you know, my friends are there, the culture there I like, it's close to home, all the other things that were probably worth that extra 10% you're being paid elsewhere. So that's part of it. All right, Dustin, that is going to have to be it for our Nico Iamaleava show. Now I'll just show it off, Dustin. That's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.